today as we come to the table.
Is the fear of the Lord your treasure? It's a treasure to have a fear of God. The fear of God is so wonderful. The Bible says the fear of God is clean. It's pure, it's holy, because it's a different kind of fear. It's not a fear like a cowering fear. It's a respect and it's an honor. And I tell you what it does, if you really fear the Lord and you know Him, it keeps you from sin. Because you recognize, you know, I don't want to do that because I've got to stand before Dad. And He loves me and He's going to forgive me, but I really don't want to have to do that. You know, I mean, the Lord speaks to me very gently. But there have been times when I've been doing things I shouldn't be doing, and I've heard a firmer voice. I've shared that with you guys. That's a scary thing.
What does it mean to fear God? Are we supposed to live in fear of being struck down because of our sins? No. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches that fearing God is a respect and understanding of reverence for the Creator of the universe. It's knowing who He is and what He's capable of. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Fearing the Lord isn't supposed to make us live an anxious life. It's supposed to keep us humble. Yes, at any moment God can stick us down. But because of what Jesus did, we can live in right standing with God. We are forgiven from all our sins and can live holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
We've gotten so mixed up and messed up in the world out there. Again, we seem even taking our children and leading them down horrible paths and all these things that are happening. That's going to happen because that's the world. And that's a result of a nation falling away from God. So we can attack the world all we want, but that's not the answer. We can talk about what great sinners the world is. We've got to get our act together. Are we walking with God? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we spending time in the Word? Are we being a witness? Are we sharing? Are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for our church? Are we praying for each other? And then as we begin to shine for the Lord, then God can begin to affect the world around us. Why are you guys different? Here's why. Jesus Christ. And He loves you. And we need to know what right and wrong is, because if we don't know what God says, for example, about male and female, how are we going to, when they come and ask, how are we going to minister to them? It's how are we going to minister to each other? Listen, this is coming into the church. If the church comes just like the world, then we're all doomed. We are the salt of the world. We're the light of the world. If the light goes out, it's just all darkness everywhere. If the salt is gone, we're no good for anything but to be trampled underfoot by men. We're gone. So we have to know where we stand and why we stand there. We have to know that the Bible says that men are not supposed to dress up like women, and women are not supposed to dress up like men. And we need to know where that is in the Bible. Not so that we can run to the world and attack them and tell them how evil they are. They're the world. They don't know Christ. Okay? You don't conquer darkness by beating it. You conquer darkness by turning on the light. And our job is simply to go, click. The Bible says that's wrong. And we as a body have to know that. So when we run into people, we don't attack them. But when we see them, we can love them. How many of us in this room, if we came upon a man dressed as a woman, would love them? And how many of us would get mad? Oh, I'll get be right. How many? Listen, we got to love. Who's going to love them? Who's going to tell them of God's love? Well, the Bible didn't say this is wrong. It does. Where? Well, let me show you. But you need to know where, okay? That's what keeps the church pure. That's the light that shines into the world. And it's not from an attack standpoint. It's not from being ugly to the world. It's loving them. It's giving them hope. Remember, if we don't tell them, who's going to? The world's not going to tell each other, hey, I think maybe this is wrong. What do you think? I don't know. I think, should we do all this and maybe raise up the next generation that way? You think that's wrong? Nah, there's nothing wrong with that. Because they don't know the Bible. And if they did know the Bible, would they still believe that it's wrong? Probably not, because they don't know Christ. You know God's word. You know the Lord. You can let them know God loves you. But He tells us what's right and what's wrong. And somebody's got to be bold enough to say it, or we're all doomed. And I do believe we're already under the judgment. I believe the judgment of God has begun in America. I believe it's already underway. And that's a whole other study again that maybe I'm getting off into now. I didn't mean to, but I'll try to pull back in here. But the reality is, we are on that path to judgment from God. I know you hear pastors say that. Oh, yeah, we haven't been judged. No. When you read what God says he'll do to a nation, guys, just today I was reading, 1/4 of South America has now come to America from through the southern border. 1/4. And the other 50% said they plan on coming soon. Now you go, we're literally being turned into a whole other nation by other nations coming in, and we're letting it happen. And you can get mad and go, we need to vote this guy out and vote that guy, and I'm going to go down there, and we're going to get binoculars and chase him around or whatever. Okay, fine. But that's not going to solve it. You know what the problem is? God says, when I begin to judge a nation because they've been unfaithful to me on the land that I've given them, I'm going to move them out and bring somebody else in. God says, I'm taking you out of the land. I'll bring in a whole new people. He says, I'm going to do it. They did it. Why do you think that God sent the Jews into Canaan? It wasn't because God just said, I just decided I like Jews better and I'm going to kick Canaanites out. No, Canaanites, he warned them, the Bible tells us, for 400 years. If you don't repent, I'm going to take you out, but a whole new group of people into Israel. We don't care what you're saying. We're not going to see prophets. We're not listening. Right? And so God kicked them out and God brought Israel in. And people say, how could a God do that? God says, I will do that. If he says, it's my land, and if you defile it, I'm giving it to somebody else. That's underway. You know why our southern border is being overrun? Okay, we can all talk about the leadership. We can all do that, okay? There's a political argument to be made, but that's not my argument. It's because God's letting it happen. I believe with all my heart, based on the word of God, again, we may cover some of it on Sunday, I believe with all my heart, God said, you turn away from me as a people. He said, if you love me as a people, I'll give you a land and I'll bless your land. Our founding fathers came in loving Jesus and he gave us the greatest land in the world. He said, but if you turn from me, I'm giving it to somebody else. You're going to go down. So the answer is not building walls on the southern border, although there's nothing wrong in that. I'm not getting political. We put locks on the doors of our house, don't we? Well, there's nothing wrong in building a wall on the southern border, okay? It's not a political statement. It's just wisdom. But it has nothing to do with keeping people out or keeping people in or who can come in. It's not kind of some kind of judgment that way. I'm simply saying the bottom line is God says, I'm going to open up your borders. I'll tear down your walls. You can vote anybody in you want. It won't work because I'm judging you. I'm going to give your land over to a brand new people. It's happening. It's happening. 3 million a year now, they say, are coming into America from other countries. And we're being overrun rapidly. And again, we can jump up and down and talk about politics. That's not the answer, guys. Repentance. We need to repent as a church. We need to repent as a nation. And then once we've repented, if we do repent and God restores our nation, if it's not too late for God to do that, then everybody that's here, we can all just love God together. Praise the Lord. And then we can set up new boundaries and decide, all right, what are the capacities of our nation and put laws back in place, etc. Now, I don't know what the future of our nation is going to be, but I can tell you from the Bible, when I saw the border stuff happening, I knew what was going on. I knew immediately. I said, what's changed? Why is this going on so rapidly? It's the judgment of God. Deuteronomy. Anyway, I really wanted to finish 4 chapters. Maybe we still will. But he says, you know, strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, gird sackcloth on your waist. Verse 12, people shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine on the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes and joyous city. The women were going, oh, we have happy homes. Our home's great. We have a joyous city. We live in Jerusalem. We've got our little tea parties and our wine glasses. And who cares about what, you know, that everybody's living in sin? We don't care. The guys don't care. So we don't care either. And we're all going to do it together. He goes, I'm putting an end to that. That's going to stop. Because the palaces will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The forts and towers will become lairs forever. A joy. Now he shifts again. A joy of wild donkeys and pastures of flocks. Notice that. You're going to be a desolate land until, verse 15, the Spirit is poured out from up on high. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is counted as a forest. He goes, I'm going to make the area of Jerusalem and all is going to be way lesser than it is now until you guys acknowledge me in the last days and I pour my Spirit out. Now, again, yes, there's joy in Jerusalem today. Yes, they still have things going on, etc. But it's not like it was, and it's not going to be like it was until the Lord comes back and pours his Spirit out again. I mean, it used to be a forested land all around there. It was beautiful. Now it's, you know, mostly desert around. They're replanting trees and all, but he's saying, this is my judgment I'm bringing. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness. Now he goes back. Remember we talked about jumping back and forth. Now he goes to the millennial kingdom. He says, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. This is during this 1,000-year reign. The work of righteousness will be peace. So there'll be peace worldwide because we're living in righteousness. And notice that's the result of righteousness for a nation. Peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Those of you that are my age or older, you can remember when we could leave our doors unlocked, even at night, sleeping in our home. You can remember when we could ride around our neighborhoods on our bikes late at night all over town, and there was never a danger. Can you imagine that today? You tell that to the generation, that would never be. It's gotten so bad that nobody even imagines letting your child be gone, you know, for a few hours in the dark, riding around, just go ride around Knoxville, go have fun, and come back whenever. What? That's what it was like. That's what it was like just 60 years ago. Now imagine that. Why? Because we were still a nation that was honoring God. Again, the argument is America has all its sins. Yes, America has its sins. I have mine. But sin is never going to be gone until Jesus Christ comes back. America was honoring God in its sin. Do you follow me? We weren't perfect, but we were honoring God. We need to honor God again. And we're never going to be perfect. And no nation is going to be perfect. And none of us in here are going to be perfect. I'm not making an excuse for sin. I'm saying when you live for God in your imperfection, there'll be quietness and there'll be assurance. And you'll rest and not live in fear. You don't have to worry about filling up your car, you know, at the gas pump. And somebody may come up and jump you. Think about it. We live in a day and age where somebody can walk up and attack you at the gas pump, you know. And I would say if that happens, grab the hose and spray them. But it's too expensive. I would say throw down the hose and wrestle them to the ground and save $100. Verse 18, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places, though hell comes down on the forest and city is brought low in humiliation. That was God will protect them, no matter even if bad things happen, if they honor me. Blessed are you who sow beside the waters and send out freely the feed of the ox and the donkey. Again, blessed are those who are generous. You know, those who are sowing freely, you're giving out, you know, helping others. You send out freely the feed of the oxen and the donkey. Let them use your, you know, whatever. It might be, you know, your vehicles or whatever, you know, and you're sowing beside the waters. You're helping them with their gas bill or whatever. The idea is you're using your resources to bless others. Chapter 33, he goes on. He says, woe to you who plunder, though you've not been plundered. He's speaking now of the evil people in the last days. And you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you'll be plundered. So God's going to judge you, in other words, for what you're doing. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. Oh, Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation, also in time of trouble. So they're doing that, but Lord, watch over us. At the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourself up, the nation shall be scattered. In other words, the world's going to be doing what it's doing right now, but God, when you show up in power, everybody's going to freak out. The Bible says in Revelation, when the Lord comes back, people are going to be running in caves, trying to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. And I love, you know, I believe it was Damien Kyle, I heard him say one time, he said, what exactly do you have to do to get a lamb angry enough to have wrath? You know? He said, but they're going to be running from the wrath of the Lamb. They'll be scattered. And your plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of a caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts, he shall run upon them. So the Lord will he's going to wipe them out, even as these, you know, locusts, these swarms of locusts that come in, or the caterpillar that eats all the green leaves. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion, which is the city of David, or modern day Jerusalem would kind of sum it up. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And when will that be? When he's seated on his throne. It's going to be filled with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. So it will be stable. Why? Because we'll have wisdom and knowledge during those 1,000 years. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Is the fear of the Lord your treasure? It's a treasure to have a fear of God. The fear of God is so wonderful. The Bible says the fear of God is clean. It's pure. It's holy. Because it's a different kind of fear. It's not a fear like a cowering fear. It's a respect and it's an honor. And I tell you what it does, if you really fear the Lord and you know him, it keeps you from sin. Because you recognize, you know, I don't want to do that because I've got to stand before Dad. And he loves me and he's going to forgive me, but I really don't want to have to do that. You know, I mean, the Lord speaks to me very gently. But there have been times when I've been doing things I shouldn't be doing and I've heard a firmer voice. I've shared that with you guys. That's a scary thing. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, I remember, I would never do it again, but when I first got saved, I was watching these kids, and I'd never watched over kids or whatever, and I saw some little kids spitting in the other kid's shoes. It's just kids, they do that kind of stuff. I know it now. I kind of went, hey, you know what I mean? And I was like, stop, you know, but I said it kind of loud, and I'm a man, this little kid. He just stopped and started, whoa! I mean, he started melting and trembling, and I was like, oh my goodness, I've killed him, you know? And so again, I realized I learned a lesson. You know, you got to be careful with that. But you realize when you're that much bigger and stronger and louder and all these other things than somebody else, just the voice can scare you. And all God has to do is kind of go, ho. And I'm like, yes, sir. I hear him and I respect him. That's a healthy fear. We need to have that fear. Do you fear God tonight? Do you fear the sin you're thinking about doing when church is over? I know some people do. Do you fear God? When you get alone and nobody's around, does it bother you thinking, God knows this, he's watching me and I'm going to answer to it one day? That's a healthy fear. It's a good thing. It's not bad. And so, you know, we need to have that fear. The fear of the Lord, it's a treasure. Surely the valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lay waste. The traveling man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He's despised the cities. He regards no man. The earth mourns and languishes. This is, again, of the judgment of God before he comes back. We talk about the great tribulation. Lebanon is shamed and shriveled. Sharon, or the fields of Sharon or Sharon, is like a wilderness. That's in the southern part of Israel. And Bashan and Carmel, that's up there in the northern part of Israel, they shake off their fruits. In other words, it's a great place of fruit, but it won't be then. And notice after the great tribulation, because that's the reference here he's referring, he says, now I will rise, says the Lord. Wow, just this awesome. He said, I'm going to come up. It's time now. God's waiting, but he's going to come back and just rock the earth. He's going to say, all right, I've seen enough of this. I've put up with enough. I've been very gracious. I've waited. I've sent messengers to you, and you've gotten mad at them. You've called them haters. You've attacked them. You've abused them. You've rejected my word. Now I'm going to judge you. And here it comes. And he says, I will rise, says the Lord. I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. You shall conceive chaff. That is the bad stuff of the wheat. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. So you're going to destroy yourself when I come back. And the people shall be like the burnings of lime, like the thorns cut. They shall be burned in the fire. Remember when the Lord comes back, the Bible says he will be like a consuming fire. And everything that we do that's not of God is going to be burned up. Everything that, whatever we're doing that's not of the Lord, even if we're making it look like it's of the Lord, whatever, it's going to be burned up. You know, one of the things I tell the staff and one of the things I pray on a regular basis is, look, we're too far down the road here in the ministry and too far down the road, even in age and too close to the Lord coming back. We don't need to be wasting time on projects God's not in. If God doesn't want to build a new sanctuary, I don't want to build it. You follow me? I don't want to build it if God doesn't want to. What is that? A lot of effort, a lot of sweat, a lot of time, a lot of money. I don't want to do that. But when I see what God's doing, I say, all right, Lord, I'm going to step forward. It looks like we need that. And if God wants to do it, he'll bring the money in. God's going to do it. He's always done that. But it's got to be God doing it, right? Or whatever the ministry is. Are we going to get involved in that ministry or this ministry? If it's just something that looks good or is expending energy or whatever the case might be, we need to really be lean. We need to focus in. There are lots of needs out there. And we need to be ready to meet any need God puts in our heart. But you individually and us as a church, we have to say, God, what do you want us to do? There's no way we can give to every mission group in the world. Can't afford that. We can't do that. But there are some mission groups he wants us to give to. So our prayer has to be, God, where does the money go? Where do we put it? How do we spend it? You show us. We've got to follow you. There's no time to waste is the point. And so, again, God's going to, again, you know, rise and you know, take care of all this when he comes back. Burn everything up like the burnings of lime. Here you are afar off, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. And notice when he does this, what's going to happen? The sinners in Zion are afraid. That is, as they see the Lord come back, or during that time when they realize he's coming back and they're going to face him, they're going to be afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. People that are openly living in sin and being hypocritical today, they're not really that afraid of God, or they wouldn't be doing that. But when you suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this is real and here he comes, there's going to be real fear. And there's going to be a real, oh my goodness moment. Sometimes I think about, look at this world today and what we're doing. And I think about if the Lord came back right now, you know, not good. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? That is, when the Lord does come back and that devouring fire comes, who among us here, who's going to be holy? Who's going to dwell with God? Who's going to get into the kingdom unscathed, if you will? He's going to tell us. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? So God, the everlasting fire of God, the purifying God of fire, when he comes back, who's going to make it through? Now, if you know Jesus, you're going to make it through. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you know the Lord, you're not going to be burned up. You're going to be in the kingdom of God. What he's talking about here is, who's going to make it through with anything left? You know, I used to say when I first got saved, I'd just be glad to get in. I'm just glad to get in. And I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm just glad to get in. I appreciate that. I'm unbelievably appreciative. But the more I walk with the Lord and the more I read his word, God's desire for us is not just to get in, but to get in with joy and reward. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive while we're here. And he wants to be able to give us reward. He didn't want everybody just to get there. And we come in, you know, crawling, you know, on our hands and knees and panting. And, you know, we made it. You know, we're kind of hugging each other. We got in, you know. He wants us to go in. And not only when the fire hits us. Yeah, there's going to be some stuff we did. Mark, that wasn't me. Ah, there it went. Okay. I spent a lot of energy and money on that. Oh, my goodness. That one, too? Yeah, that one. This one, yes, this one was of me. Oh, and it solidifies. And, oh, there's reward. Oh, this is great. And then it's all done. He goes, now, there's your reward for eternity. That's yours. That's what's of me. That's what's left. I want to have something. It's not because of greed or jealousy or envy. There won't be any of that in the kingdom. But if nothing else, just to say, Lord, I tried to serve you. I tried to do something that was of you. I wanted to be, you know, a son that you'd be pleased with. And we need to have that attitude, you know. Don't be afraid to seek out reward. There's nothing wrong in it. If there's fleshly reasons, well, there's fleshly reasons. But if there's not, he's saying, look, who's going to make it through here? He says, here's the one, verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes. Notice this. It's going to show a picture of not just turning from sin, but aggressively. You know, I don't know. Let me make something up. I'd like to really kind of give you all the money you need to build. You know, you mentioned a new sanctuary. Here's $10 million, build a sanctuary. However, I'd really like a whole different direction for the church. I'd like you to teach some things differently. That's a check I'd never take. Keep your money. God doesn't need money. God needs hearts, and we need to be faithful to God. And so, in the sense, you think about the political realm, how many people take bribes, say, like, you know, I'd like to make a donation of, you know, $1 million to your campaign. And by the way, there are some things I'd like to see happen in my district. Well, I'll see what I can do about that, you know. He says, no. He says, the kind of person that's going to be in the kingdom with reward, the kind I'm looking at, they're going to be the kind that say, are you kidding me? Get away from me. No way. I have no time for that. I don't operate that way. I'm going to do what the right thing is. I've been sent here by my constituents. I'm going to do what they sent me here to do, not try to get money out of this or gain some whatever, or in the church setting. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to do what God's told me to do, not what you tell me to do or what the world says to do. You can no longer preach that. I'm sorry, we're going to. Not out of rebellion, you know, just to be rebellious, but we're going to obey our commander. We're going to obey our Lord. And again, throughout history, that gets people in trouble, but it is what it is. He says, that's the kind of person that's going to have reward in the kingdom. He gestures with his hands. No, I don't want your money for your purposes. Who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed. You know, yeah, we want to, you know, we're going to do some things to maybe, some people may die when we do this, but it's going to be great for us politically or whatever the case might be. We'll make piles of money or whatever. He says, no, don't even entertain that. Shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, and his water will be sure. So I'll bless that man or that woman that does that.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. The first half of this grand prophetic book contains a warning for the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. See, the rulers of these kingdoms had given in to idol worship and forgotten the ways of God that their predecessors followed. But God was not without mercy, and he sent prophets like Isaiah to bring warning and encourage people to turn back to God. And while the world is much different now than it was in Isaiah's time, you and I have received a word from the Lord in today's message. If we turn away from sin and run with all of our might into the arms of Jesus, he will forgive us of our sins and make us into new creations. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, or you'd like to get connected with the ministry of Come to the Table, you can reach us by phone at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. We also invite you to visit us online at thewaymedia.net, where you'll find out more about the radio programs we offer to provide sound biblical teaching over the airwaves. And if you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to welcome you to join us for a service at Calvary Knoxville. Just click the Calvary Knoxville button in the menu bar, and you'll be redirected to our church website for more information. Well, we're running out of time for today. Be sure to join us next time for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.